Begin the current daf, Masechta Seidah, the daf Gimel. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in Agadic interpretations of the topic of this Masechta of Seidah as a paradigm for all types of sins. Tanya learned no Brisa. Hayir Meir said, Adam Oivra Ver Beseser. A person can violate a sin in privacy. For example, like the immoral woman who sins in private. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it well known, he announces it to everybody, like in the context of Saita, where Hashem puts in the husband's heart a spirit of jealousy, and it becomes well known what this woman was doing in private. Shlem, like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar, Va'avar alav ruach kenah, that on the husband there went over him a spirit of jealousy regarding his wife. Now, ve'ein averi el loshen achraza, this term of going over is connotes a proclamation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention is that he wants it to be well known. A person thinks he sins in private, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets it be known to other people exactly what this person's all about. Shemek says a pasuk in Shemais, Vayitzav Moshe, Moshe commanded, Vayiviru kol b'machon. We see that the term Vayiviru, he passed it through, is a term of pass the voice out that everyone should hear about what he wants it to be well known. And therefore, when it says va'aval of ruach kina, is that the spirit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to this desire of the husband is avar, that it should be well known regarding this sin that the woman was doing in private. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machrez la begoli. Everybody ends up hearing about what this woman was really doing. Resh Lakish, he says another idea. He says, ein odem oiva avera. A person does not commit a sin, elim kein nichnes by ruach shtos, unless a spirit of retardedness enters that person. Shanem, like it says, a pasuk in Bamidbar, but it says, ish ish ki sista ishtai, which literally means to say that a man, if he will, regarding the warning of his, if his wife is going to stray, now, as the Marav Ranchberg brings here on the side from Marasha, the pasuk should have said, ish ish ki sita, that if she's going to stray. Why does it say ki sista? To tell you, not to read a sista with a sin, but rather, sishtek, as if from the word of shaita. You gotta be crazy for what you're doing. You're giving up in the greatest pleasure of this relationship for something that's the low-hanging fruit, for copping out on your life. That's a person for sinning. Again, we see the paradigm by the Seita, but if a person's going to sin, it must be that there was a ruach of shtos, a spirit of retarded that went into the person, and that's why they committed the sin. Which, again, essentially, it's always a breakdown of understanding if a person's going to be sinning, because you obviously don't know what you're giving up. Now, returning to the topic that we said in the previous daf, Tana de Beir Bishmal says, what's the reason that we pointed this out as a deek from our Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah later on, that although Kinar and Stira maybe would need two witnesses, but the Tumah, for one witness to say that I saw the act of cohabitation between this man and this woman, that even one witness is believed. So on that, the Braisa of the Shiva Rabbi Bishmal said, because there's actually indicators that tell us that she was defiled. Because Shari Kinala, first of all, the husband had warned already, and Venistra, and then she went and secluded with this man anyway. And Ve'edach and Me'idah Sheitameh, and you have this one witness who's saying, I saw, so that's why, because of all those red flags, we believe that the one witness who testifies. Now on that, the Gemara asks, Amalir Rapabat Labaya, says, but how can you say that the reason why, meaning the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel, that the 1 8 for Tumah is believed, because it's coming on the heels of a kinui and a stira, but when the kinui, the warning is written in the Torah, basar stira v'tumah hudechsiva. If you look at the chronology of the psukim, it's actually written after the concept of the woman being secluded with a man, and the concept of her being defiled by the man, where the pasuk that talks about the one witness being believed, says v'nistra v'hi nitma, v'eid ein ba, that she was secluded, she became defiled, and there wasn't two witnesses, which we have said in the previous daf means to say, but there was one witness, and he's believed to say that she was nitma. And then the pasuk says v'ava lav ruach kina. So we see that obviously, even without kinui, one witness is believed to say that she was defiled. So how is he saying that the reason why there's reglaim ladav is because there's kinui and stir and then tumah? So Amalesa, Abai responded, Va'avar. It says, Va'avar lov ruach kina, v'kvar av. It means to say that it already was. It's a past tense. It's saying, and he had already had this spirit of jealousy, and that's why he had warned her. And then there was stira. And then tuma, that's why one witness is believed. Now, that Rapaba asks, El Me'ata, but if that's the case, that you're saying, Va'avar, always reflects that it was something that already had happened from before, even though it's being mentioned now. But there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, regarding Moshe was warning the children of the Shevet of the tribe of Gad and of Reuven, where they wanted to have the land in the Transjordan, not to pass over the Yarden to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, I'll give it to you as long as you promise when later on, when after I pass away and the Jewish people are going with Yeshua into Eretz Yisrael, that you'll go with them. And v'avro lachem kol cholotz, and that all your warriors will go over and fight the war, and then you can go back to the Transjordan, and then you'll have that land. So on that, Rabbah asks, hachinami, here also it means something that was already, this is only in the future. How can you say v'avar, that it, as if it was, they're still in the desert, no one ever went over to Eretz Yisrael. How could it be that v'avar in the past tense, that they had already gone over? So that Abaye answers, hasam midchsiv, there, the pasuk says afterwards, v'nichbishto ha'aretz lafnei Hashem, that then the land will be conquered in front of Hashem, v'achar teshuv, and then you'll come back. So mashma da'aba, there, contextually, obviously, it's something in the future. So you're right, there v'avar doesn't mean that it was already. But alahacha, but over here what I'm saying is, isa g'daytach k'dechsiv, if you would entertain to say, as the chronology of the psukim are, that it says v'nistra, first seclusion, and then v'hinitma, about being defiled, and then v'avar, and then he did the ruach kinna, then he warned her, but pasutumah v'stira, after she already had been defiled and secluded, kinu lamali. What are you warning? She already secluded and she already was defiled. So there's no warning. So that's why he said that in this context, v'avar means that it already was and contextually has to be that. So you're right, v'avar doesn't always mean it was, but in this context it means that it already was, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel says that since there was kinu and there's stira and then tumah, so even one witness will be believed because of raglayim l'davar. Another idea, tana de Rabbi Shmuel, ein od de mikana le'ishta, a person does not warn his wife to stay away from being secluded with another man, unless a spirit enters into him. Meaning from above, a spirit enters him. Now, shortly the Gemara will explain, is that a ruach tahara? Is that a pure spirit? Or is it actually a ruach tumah? Meaning is it coming through the satan who wants to make this man sin and do something wrong and bad by warning his wife? So, but first, the Braisa of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel says that a spirit enters him. Shenemak says in the pasuk, "Va'ava l'bruach kena," that a spirit of warning enters him. V'kinas ishta, and he warns his wife. So it only is because of this spirit that enters him. Now that the Gemara asks, "My ruach, what is this spirit?" So Rabbanan, the rabbis in the Yeshiva Rav Ashi, Amri, they said ruach tama. It's an evil spirit that enters him, causing him to do this bad thing. Rav Ashi Amar ruach tahari says that it's no, it's a pure spirit. In other words, when we say spirit, we don't mean necessarily metaphysical. It's because it's the ruach of the person, if it's coming from his good place or bad place, which is because he hates immorality, he hates preetzes, and that's why he's warning his wife. He doesn't want her to descend into this abyss of immorality, so it's actually a good thing. Now, that the Gemara says in Mistabra, it makes sense to say that this spirit that Rabbi Shmuel says that enters the person, and then he goes and warns his wife, is Kamanda Amar ruach tahara, like the one who says that of Rav Ashi, that it's a pure spirit. It's coming from a good place. So it's kind of like learning the Braisa, that as we'll see, Rabbi Shmuel says that regarding this being Mekana, the wife, warning her about another man, that it's actually a Rishus. It's permissible. So obviously, as the Gemara will conclude, it's not talking about a Ruach Tumah, because if it's from a bad place, why does the Torah permit you to do something that would obviously be a bad thing? Now, this Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that we're going to quote, the Gemara will later shortly explain exactly the source for their Machlekes. But the Braisa says as follows. V'kinyas ishta, it says that he will warn his wife. So rishus, divrei b'shmol, Shmuel says that's just a permission. He's allowed to. It's his volition. B'kivai mechavi says no, when the Torah says that he warns his wife, it's an obligation. He sees something going on. He has to warn her to stay away from that man. Now that the Gemara proves, i'amid b'shlem ruach tahara, if you say that, as Rav Ashi said, that the spirit that enters is a spirit of purity, so shap, it makes sense, both according to b'shmol and b'kiva, if it's either that it's permissible or it's an obligation because it's coming from a good place. Eli'i amrit ruach tumah, but if you say like the rabbis of the Yeshiva Rav Ashi, that it's a spirit of impurity coming from a bad place, reshus v'chayva li'iyule li'inish ruach tumah b'navshe, can it be that either it's permissible or even an obligation for a person to bring upon himself a spirit of impurity on himself? Obviously, it doesn't mean ruach tumah. If they're both saying that it's either reshus or a chayva, to be mekanes ishta, obviously it's coming from a good place, is because he's soinus preetzes to ruach of tahara. Now, the Gemara explains the braisa gufa. It says that he will warn his wife. So Rishus, Divrei Bishmo, Rishus learns that it's a permission. It's not saying he has to. He could. For Bikiva, he says, no, chayv, it's an obligation. So to a second example of the same type of a machlokes, so Pasuk Givan Yikra, and this is in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, that says, regarding the kayin that's forbidden to be metama lemesim, it says, however, v'lachayse ha-besula ha-krevelov, but for his sister that's a virgin, that's a relative of his, ashala ha-yisul ish, that wasn't yet intimate with another man, so loh yutama tahar, he makes himself impure, meaning he go ahead and bury her. Now, on that, Rishus, the Rabbi Shmuel B'Shmuel says that just that he's allowed to. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's an obligation for him. He has this relative that has to be buried. He has an obligation to be metame tahar, even though he's a kain. So, too, another similar machlaikas, the pasuk in Vayikra that says, lo'ilum behem tavoidu, regarding an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, it says that forever should you keep them in servitude. So on that, Rishus Divrei Rabbi Shmuel says that that's, you're allowed to. It's not a problem that you're keeping someone in servitude forever. Rabbi Kiva Amri says, no chayv, it says actually an obligation, meaning it's actually forbidden to be meshachar yevet, to free your slave. The Torah is telling you that no, you have to keep him as a slave. So that's, we find three similar machlekes in between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Now, that Omri Rapabla Abaya, Rapabla asked Abaya, V'Amri La, and some say it was actually Rabbi Mesharshal who said L'Rava, that it seems like Lame Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva b'chol Torah kul. It sounds like that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva argue in the whole entire Torah, meaning whenever you have a positive commandment, that hachi pligi, sounds like that this is what they're arguing about. Dema amar rishos umar machayva. That one says the Torah is telling you lo el mem tavoidu lo yitama, which sounds like a positive commandment. Oh, that it's a permission, and the other one is telling you an obligation. So essentially, what his question was is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't have any obligatory positive commandments. It sounds like. Sounds like he's interpreting that, no, lo yitama, v'kines ishtay, these you're allowed to, but they're optional. Is that really true, that the old positive commandments are optional? So Amalei, so he answered him, no, obviously the mitzvahs are obligations, they're chayvis. But hacha b'kroy pligi, in these three places, it's just because they're arguing regarding how do you define the psukim in these contexts. As follows. The first one that we mentioned was v'kines ishtay rishus, divrei b'shmol, b'shmol says that this of warning his wife is an option. Rabbi Kiva Amar Chayv, he says an obligation. So the Gemara asks, my time, Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason of Rabbi Shmuel? So Savolo ki haitan is because he holds like the following Tana. The Tana within the Braisa. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Aim, he says, Klapi sha'amr Torah, since the Torah tells us, Loisisna esachicha bilvavacha, that you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. In other words, the Torah tells you, you're not allowed to bring yourself to a situation of fighting and hating amongst the Jewish people. So yachol kagayin zu. So you would think the same thing would apply. If let's say someone sees that his wife is violating what's called das yehudis, not biblical commandment, but certain things that Jewish women don't do, where she's being secluded with her male neighbors. So you would think, don't ruffle any feathers. Don't create animosity, because the Torah says you don't want to have sinah in the Jewish people. Sinah chinam is a terrible thing, so you shouldn't warn her, because that's going to cause what? You suspect me, and it causes, and everyone hears about it. That's what the pasuk teaches. That a spirit of jealousy comes upon the husband, and he warns his wife. In other words, what it's telling us is, you would think that it's forbidden. So when it says a notch up, it's saying, look, if you want to, here you are allowed to go ahead and be mekanha. Now the reason being is because, again, had we not had this pasuk, we would have thought to say it's actually forbidden to warn the wife, because that's going to cause animosity. And that is what Rabbi Shmuel is saying, Rishus, because that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude from. You would think it's forbidden. You're right. Every positive commandment in the Torah, where I would never think that it's forbidden, kibud av v'aim, tzedakah, whatever it is. So of course, then if the Torah is telling you, it's that you're obligated. But here is because actually the pasuk is coming to exclude from a different mitzvah that would tell you that it's forbidden to warn her. Now it says, v'kines ish, saying that you're allowed to, but not that it's taking up even a higher notch that you have to. Rabbi Kiva, however, Rabbi Kiva, Kino Achrin Ksevi says, but there's another pasuk that mentions Kino. It says, V'ava Lav Ruach Kino, and it says, V'kines Isht Evehilei Nitma. So it says two times warning. So one is, you're right, you would think it's forbidden. One is telling you that it's permitted. And when it repeats it another time, it's saying not only is it permitted, it's actually an obligation. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, however, he would tell you that no, Kino, again, as we said, only says that you're allowed to. We would have thought that it's forbidden. And oh, but it says two times Kino. That's Aidi Deboi Lemichtav. It's only because the Pasuk had to tell you two different ideas. In other words, in one part, it had to tell you Vehi Nitma, that she became defiled. On the other hand, it also had to tell you, he loy nitman, that she did not become defiled. In other words, because we're in doubt. We don't know regarding the saita, the suspected adulterous woman, the suffix saita, that is, we don't know. She just was warned and secluded, and still the Torah tells you that she's forbidden out of doubt. So ksivname v'kinyas ishti, that's why in that other pasuk it mentions again the concept of v'kinyas. Now, although, as Rashi explains, what the Gemara is trying to say is that it could have said that va'ava lav ruach kinyas, the next pasuk, it could have said that a spirit of jealousy comes upon him, v'kinyas ishti, and then he warns his wife, v'hi nitma oiloi nitma, and that she becomes impure, or she doesn't become impure, we're not sure. And it didn't have to mention then when it says loy nitma, again him warning her. Still, it's normative for a pasuk when it repeats an idea, that it repeats all the context, all the ideas, all the variables because of a new element that's being introduced. Where here it's introducing that, oh, maybe she was not nitma. So that's why it repeats v'kinyas ishtei, not to tell you another idea of warning, as if it's going up from rishus to chayva. No, it repeats the word kinoi just because it repeats itself. Look at the Tana de Beir Bishmol, like it was taught in the Braisa of the Yeshiva Bishmol. The Tana de Beir Bishmol, he said, "Kol parasha shenemar benishnas, any parasha in the Torah that was already set, and it's being repeated. Why is it repeating it? It's only being repeated because there is one element over there that is a novelty that wasn't mentioned in that other previous context, and that's why it's saying it. But all the other elements is not because it's coming to tell you something else. So it's only for that one idea. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that the repetition of the word kinui is not coming to tell you, oh, not just as a reshus like Rabbi Kiva says, but rather chayva. No, it's just repeating it because it wanted to tell us something else. And therefore, he doesn't learn that it's taking it up from reshus to a chayva. Now, the second similar machlokes that we had was lo yitama, when it talks about him making himself the kohen tamei to his close relatives. So it says tahar, meaning to his achayse habesula, he makes himself tamei. So reshus devir bishmal says that it's an option. Bikivai Machavi says no, it's an obligation. So the Gemara says, my time to Rishmo, what's the reason to Rishmo? Why is it only Rishus? Like, as we said, every mitzvah in the Torah is an obligation. So again, the same idea. Aydich Siv, since the Pasuk tells us, Emor El HaKaihan B'nei Aaron, speak to the Kahanim, the sons of Aaron. Vamarta Aleim L'Nefesh L'Yitam V'Amav, and it says that you should tell the Kahanim that they can't make themselves tummy to any soul, any person that has died amongst their people. So Itzrucha L'michtav Lo Yitam, therefore it was necessary to say that for the close relatives that you are permitted to become a tamei. You're right. A regular mitzvah that it says it's an obligation. But here it's because we would have thought that it's actually forbidden. That's why it says lo yitama, that you could, but not that it's an obligation. It's just that you're allowed to. Now, Rebbe Kiva, however, me from which the pasuk there begins, lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav, says that to the soul amongst his people, he can't make himself tamei, ki im l'she'eroi, only for the relative, where the pasuk there continues, hakarav elav, that's close to him, le'ima le'aviv, his mother, his father, la'chayis abesula, his sister that's a virgin. So on that, Rabbi Kiva says that from there already is nafka. That's where you learn out that the kohen can be metama to these relatives. So lo yitama lamali. So why do you need lo yitama? And that Rabbi Kiva says la'chayiv must be telling you an obligation, because you can't tell me it's telling that you're allowed to, because the pasuk says clearly that he can be metama to his relatives. Now Rabbi Shmuel, however, he would tell you that you're right. You're right, that you pointed out, you already know that he's allowed to be metamet to his other relatives in contrast to all the other people from Ki'im L'She'eroi. But he tells you, Lo metamet, the law, is not coming to tell you, like Rabbi Kiva is saying it, that, oh, that you have to, it's an obligation. It's telling you a different halacha. It's telling you that this, that you permitted to be metamet to these seven relatives, it's only tahar, meaning if the person dies, you could be metamet, but ve'ei metamet le'ivareha. But you can't make yourself tummy if you're a kohen to one of her limbs. In other words, if one of these seven relatives was a mukashchin, someone that has leprosy and that type of illnesses that their limbs just like fall off, so that limb, the kohen can't go ahead and take his sister's limb and go ahead and bury it. Because as the Gemara tells him, Sechtes Chum Daf Kof Ches Amad Beis, that actually an Eiver Min Achai, a limb that fell off from a living person, has the same halacha and transmits tumma like an Eiver Min Ames, like a limb from a dead person. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. We need the word law to tell you, not to say that it's an obligation to be metame. It's rather, it's only reshus, as we see from Kiyim L'She'eroi. Rather, it's coming to say tahar, to the whole person you can be metame, but not to the limbs of these seven relatives. Now, Gittin on Tamid Beis, where the Gemara says, and Rabbi Kiva, what does he do with that? How does he say law tells you chayve, if it's coming to tell you law, v'loy le'varah? So he says, im kain, if it would be true like Rabbi Shmuel, that the Pasuk is now coming to tell you an obligation only for that drasha of to exclude the limbs, then lichtiv rachman Allah v'lishtik, then the Torah should have just told you the word law and then been silent. Shouldn't have said law yitam. In other words, we would have understood that it says lenefesh leitama ba'amav, the kain cannot be mitama to other, to any dead people, ki im l'sheirei, unless if it's one of his seven relatives, ulachoysa besulant his virgin sister law, tahar. Where from that I would have known already to her whole body and not to her limbs. So yitma lamali, why does it conclude with yitma? Shmamano, that's Rabbi Kiva learns from that extra word yitma to tell you that it's an obligation to be metama to these seven relatives. It's a chayva, not just a rishos. Now Rabbi Shmuel, I did the kus of law. Once it has to say law, again, as we said, to tell you law v'lo elevereha, so kus of nami yitma, so then incidentally, it just includes the word yitma, because it definitely makes sense to say la yitma instead of just leaving it hanging at la. Look at the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, like we learned in the Brayse of Rabbi Shmuel. Again, as we mentioned before, the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, called Parsha Shenemar V'Nishnas, any Parsha that was already said, which in this context is regarding the permissibility of being metama to one of the seven relatives, and then repeats itself again when it says la yitama, la yitnishnas el b'shul davar shenischadish, but it was only repeated for what was the novelty in it, which was actually the word la, to say love loy levera, and the word yitma was only repeated, but not again as Rabbi Kiva is saying, as an extra word to say that it's an obligation. Rather, it's just a rishus. Now, the third similar machlokes that we had was it says regarding an eved kenani, a non-Jewish slave. It says la olam behem tavoidu, that if forever you hold them in servitude. So rishus, Devi Bishmol said that it's a permissibility. Rabbi Kiva Mechavi says no, it's an obligation. So again, my time Rabbi Bishmol, what's the reason Rabbi Bishmol? It's like should be like any regular mitzvah that it's a chayva. So that the Gemara says, I did the chsev, again, the same concept. Since it says the pasuk in Devarim, lo yisachaya kol neshama, it says regarding the seven nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael, which before was called Eretz Canaan, which were the Chiti, Gergashi, Amiroi, the Canaani, the Prizi, the Chiva, and the Yavusi. It says you're not allowed to keep any of them alive. You have to kill them all out. So itzruch nami lemichtiv lo'ilam bem tabuidu, that's why it was necessary to say that you could maintain such a slave as in your servitude, because lemishri, again, is coming to permit, not an obligation, to permit echad mikalu umais, one of the other nations, meaning from the rest of the 70 nations, shebo al hakananis, although he cohabits with one of the seven nations, which Rashi says all the seven nations of Eretz Canaan were called after Canaan, that's the primary name that we use. So although the mother is from that nation, and then this other nationality father fathers his son from this woman, where although by the Jewish people we say that if the mother is Jewish and the child's Jewish, so you would think maybe over here where if the mother is a Canaanis, then the child would also be a Canaani, and then you would not be able to have him as a slave. Actually, you would have to kill him. That's what the Chiddush of the Pasuk says, Rabbi Shmuel of La'olam Mem Tavoidu, is not saying that it's an obligation. It's that Shat Rishoy L'Kanoisei, that you're allowed to purchase him as a slave, because actually we go after the paternal, after the father, and it's therefore permitted to keep him alive, to have him as a slave. The Tanya, like, well, there's no Braisa, that's what the Pasuk is coming to say. Not an obligation, but that it's actually permitted, because he's not considered a Kanani. The Braisa says, Minayin La'echad Min Hu'umais, how do you know that if any one of the other nations, Shabala Kananis Varlimen Ben, that he then cohabits with a Kanani woman, and he has a son from that union, Shatir Shoylik Naisabavid, you're allowed to purchase him as a slave, you don't have to kill him. Tamalayma, that's the Pasuk teaches in Vayikra, where previously the Pasuk had said that Me'es HaGoyim Asha Sviva Yisechem, that from the nations that are around you, Mehem Tiknu Evid Va'ama Asha Sviva Sa'atzchem, from them you could purchase a male and female slave that's around your land of Eretz Yisrael. But not from the nations of your land, which are the Shibu Umais, the seven nations. Then it says, and also from those of the sons of the dwellers that live with you. Now, as Rashi points out, the word toishav, a dweller, always connotes someone that came from somewhere else, and now he's settling here. Now, that is what the Pasuk says, mehem tiknu. From them you could purchase as slaves. In other words, you could purchase their sons that were born to them from the women of your land, which again is this idea that the men of the men that came from other nations that came here and had relations with a Canaanite woman and fathered a child, that's what the Pasuk is saying, Mehem Tiknu. So that's what the Pasuk is coming to say. Now the Braisa continues. You would think the same thing would apply regarding a Canaanite man that cohabits with a woman from one of the other nations. And he has a son from her, that there also you would think you could have such a child as a slave. That's what the Pasuk teaches over there, that no, which was born in your land, which tells us, we're only talking about this mixed marriage of a nationality outside of Eretz Yisrael and a Kanani, only from those that are born in your land. Now, as Rashi points out, that's a reference to the Bnei HaToshavim. The reason is because women give birth in the land that they live, and men take their sons back to live where they came from. So what happens is that these others married women in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Such a child that's born in Eretz Yisrael, which means to say that the mother is Kanani, but not the father, they you could purchase as slaves. But v'loy min ha-gorim ba'aretzchem, but not from those that weren't born here in Eretz Yisrael, but rather they only live here in Eretz Yisrael. Which means to say that they're actually children that were born from people of your land that were born somewhere else, meaning to say from a woman from a different nation, and then the father brings him back to live where he lived, which is Eretz Canaan, that such a child you can't go ahead and purchase. Again, that's how Rabbi Shmuel learns it. It's coming to tell you, Lo'ilim Be'am Tavaydu, is that you're allowed to, and that is although the mother is a Canaanist, it's not a problem. It's from those that are Noilod Ma'artzachem, you could purchase as a slave, and you don't have to kill him, as the Torah tells us, of Lo'isachai Kol Neshama. Now, Rabbi Kiva, however, he would tell you, Mimehem Tiknu Nafka. That idea you already know, that you're allowed to purchase if the mother is a Canaanist, and that you don't have to kill him from Mehem Tiknu, that from them you could purchase. And therefore, Lo'ilam Mem Tavoidu Lomali. So it says Rabbi Kiva, so what do I do with when it says, and that forever they should be in servitude? Is L'chaiva, that's why he argues and says it's coming to tell you an obligation. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, he would tell you that no, Lo'ilam Mem Tavoidu is not telling you an obligation. Actually, the drasha of Bahem is telling you that Bahem, in them, you could have them in servitude forever. V'loi b'acheichem. And not in your brothers, meaning you can't treat your brother, another Jewish person, in the servitude of an Eved like you do with a Kanani. That's what La'il Mem Tavoidu comes to tell you. Now, Rebbe Kiva, he would tell you, Ba'acheichem, regarding a Jewish person, Misevet the Kronafka. From the end of the Pasuk, you see, the Pasuk says clearly, Uva'acheichem b'nei Yisrael, and regarding your brother, the Jewish people, Ish ba'achiv le'isirdim b'befarach, a man and his brother can't work him with harsh work like you do with a slave. So how can Rebbe Shmuel say that La'il Mem Tavoidu, Bahem is coming to tell you, and not in the Jewish people, and not to say the obligation of chayva, when you know that from the pasuk itself. Rabbi Shmuel, and he would say, you're right, that this idea of not working a Jewish person with avoidus eved is actually learned out from v'acheichem. So, however, but he says, aydi d'chsiv v'acheichem, that once it says this term, that in your brothers, so k'siv nam b'hem, so it also says that in them, meaning lo'ilamem tavoidu, is not like Rabbi Kiva is coming to say, that it's coming to tell you chayva. So what is it coming to teach? It's only said incidental with the concept of v'acheichem. I mean, it's contrasting. It's saying that the Jewish people, you can't do, what can't you do? Lo'ilam mem tavaydu. I mean, lo'ilam mem tavaydu you don't need, as we pointed out before, because you know it from mehem tiknu, regarding the mother being a Canaanist. So the Gemara had attempted to say that Rabbi Shmuel darshan's behem, but not in the Jewish people, that the Pasuk says clearly v'acheichem. So now the Gemara is reversing. It says that Ba'acheichem really is what tells you not the Jewish people. What shouldn't they do? Lo'ilam mem tavaydu, which is what you do by the Eved Kanani. That's why k'siv nam behem l'kud etan b'Rabbi Shmuel. Again, as we said this idea before, etan b'Rabbi Shmuel called parsha shenem b'nishnas. Any parsha that was already said. You're right, I already said mehem tiknu. I already know regarding this Eved Kanani, again, not a Kanani, but his mother's Kananis, that you could keep him alive and take him as an Eved, and you could work him like an Eved. That was already said. Why is it repeating it again when it says lo'ilam mem tavaydu? And this chadash was only repeated because of something that was introduced that wasn't known before, which is this concept of uvacheichem b'nei Yisrael, that regarding the Jewish person, you can't work him like avoid this eved. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Shmuel argues. And Rabbi Kiva, again, that's what we said before. These three places, although in general, of course, Rabbi Shmuel learns that a mitzvah that says in the Torah is an obligation, here, since in all these places you would have thought that they're forbidden, and that is what the pasuk is saying, that no, it's not forbidden, it's permitted. But it's not going to tell you that it's an obligation, whereas Rabbi Kiva proves by all of them that know that you already know that it's a rishus, and what does it say over here? It's coming to tell you that it's an obligation. And again, this context is that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that lo'il mem tavoidu is not telling an obligation because it's just said incidentally, as the Bryce of Rabbi Shmuel says, of, because it's contrasting that uvachichem neisrael, is that you can't do such a thing. Now, the Gemara continues on this topic about a woman being unfaithful in her marriage, which is the topic of the Saita. So Amar Rav Chisdi says, Zenusa bevesa, immorality in the house, meaning in the marriage, is kikarya lishumshma, is like this karya worm of the sesame seed, which eats up and rots the whole sesame seed. So too, Znus, sexual immorality, destroys the house. So to Amar Rav Chisdi, this is tukpa, anger bevesa in the house is also kikar l'shumshum, is also the same thing as this worm that totally deteriorates and rots the whole sesame seed. Now that the Gemara explains that idi v'idi, both of these ideas of Rav Chisdi regarding anger and immorality, which we said destroys the foundations of the house, are actually referencing be'itza, specifically regarding when the woman, when the wife is mazano, when she gets upset and gets angry, is because the woman who is consumed with either her immorality or with her anger, so she's not going to be doing the things that she normally does in taking care of the house, and she's not going to make sure the house is in order, she's going to let the kids fly all over the place, and because she's busy with her, with the person that she's having this other relationship with, and therefore that's going to destroy the house. Aval begavra les lambo, though obviously with the husband it's a bad thing too, but it's not going to destroy the foundations of the house as it is when the wife is mezano or when she's in kas. Now a related statement also from Amar Rav Chisdi, he says, Betchila, koidim shechatu Yisrael, originally, before the Jewish people sinned with arayis, with sexual immorality, so the divine presence rested with every single person in his house. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Devarim, ki Hashem alekecha mesalech bekerv mechanecha, because Hashem, your God, goes in the midst of your camp. Hashem was in everyone's home. But once they sinned with arayis, nistalka shchina mehem, so then the divine presence removed itself, in other words, from coming into their house, because Hashem can't, so to speak, see the sins that are going on there in people's homes. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk over there, that he shouldn't see an element of arayis, of immorality, so a person brings certain things into his home, and then Hashem will remove himself from amongst you. So that was originally Hashem was in every home, but once arayis get brought in, then Hashem removes his shechinah from the people. Now related to this idea of znus, Amar b'shmul bar nachmeni Amar b'yonison, he says, kala isa mitzvah achas bo'il mazeh, whoever does a positive commandment in this world, so mikad mosoi, so that mitzvah before he dies announces v'hileches l'fonav l'olam haba and goes in front of him to the next world. It gets there before him. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, v'holach l'fonecha tzidkecha, that your righteousness will go in front of you. However, v'chala oivra aver achas bo'il mazeh, whoever does one sin in this world, melafofosoi v'hileches l'fonav l'olam haba, so it wraps itself and goes in front of him to the day of judgment. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Eve, yilofsu orchis darkim, that the paths of their ways wrap themselves, yalu basoihu b'yoyvedu, that they go into the abyss and they get lost, meaning that it wraps itself and it goes before the person saying, look what this person did. Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says, actually, kishur b'kekelem, the sin wraps itself around the person like a dog. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, which was the idea why it's related to our topic regarding znus, but that Yosef did not listen to her, to Eshet Potiphar, to lay with her, to be with her. What's this redundancy of laying and being? Which means lishkev etzla bo'il mazeh, to lay with her in this world, to be with her in the next world, because whatever you do here is actually creating your eternity in the world to come. And that's the same thing with being mezana, that had he done that, then that would have been with him in the next world. Now, continuing with what we had mentioned before on the previous daf regarding the eight echad being neman regarding tumah, so it's not hasam. We learned over there a mishnah later on, daf lamad alef, lamad alef, which talks about regarding this idea where if one witness says resiha shenitma, he says I saw that she was defiled, I saw the act of cohabitation. So the halacha there is that if there was kinar and stira, and now this one person saying nitma, then she does not drink the meisaita. You don't go through the whole procedure. She's considered definitively as if she was unfaithful. Now, the Mishnah says, Shehoyah Badin, because actually the law should have been that we should not have believed the one witness unless we had had a pasuk like we do, that tells us Eid Einba that one Eid is believed. Because from the following Kal Vachomer, Uma Eid is Rishon, if regarding the first testimony, meaning regarding what comes before Nitma, which is the steer, the seclusion, She'eino Yisrasa Issa Oilam, we're there, if a woman was testified that she was secluded with this other man, whereby becoming forbidden because of the seclusion, that's not an eternal for something that's forbidden, because if she ends up drinking the mei saita and it turns out that she's tahira, her stomach doesn't bloat and she doesn't just die, she's actually permitted to her husband and she's permitted to truma. So if over there where it's not an eternal iser, it's only usr for the interim, mitzad hasafik, but ultimately it could be, she could be permitted, and yet einim miskayim es bepachas mishnayim, still we cannot have that element of stira with less than two witnesses, as the Gemara tells us, davar davar mimamun, which we learned out from din mamun, which says davar. And by arise it says davar, that it has to be two witnesses. So edus achrenus, so regarding the later testimony, meaning what's the later stage of after kinu and stira, then regarding being defiled, where shoysar to isra oilam, where that, if the person's believed, she becomes forbidden forever, you can't even verify through the meisaita. Isn't it a Kal Vachomer that for sure to create such a halachic consequence, you should require two witnesses? That's why we need the pasuk that tells us the aid ein ba, which as we said previously, kol sheyesh ba, whatever witnesses you do have regarding her tumah, even one, he'll be believed. As we had expounded that when it says the aid ein ba, aid is actually means two witnesses. So there's no two, rather there's only one, and that is a pasuk saying that she's going to be forbidden. Because as we explained previously, the pasuk there is going in the context of her becoming tamei, as the pasuk there then says, v'hinitma v'eid einba, that she's tamei. And regarding tamei is where you say that there's no aid, which is two witnesses, but rather one would be believed. That's why we need it, because actually we would have said, Kal Vachomer from stira that needs to, for sure, tama. Now, however, now the Gemara says, but Kal Vachomer le'eid is a rishayna me'ata. But now, we should say to the contrary, we should say, that a Kal Vachomer regarding stira, which is a previous testimony, to say the other way around. So Uma Eidus Achrein Asha Yisrasa Yisraelim. So if we just prove from the pasuk regarding the later testimony of Tuma, where that's going to make her forbidden forever, and still Miskayim Es Beid Echad, it's enough even with one witness. So Eidus Rishayin Ashein Esarta Yisraelim. So regarding the stira, which is not even such a severe consequence, Nalacha, she's not necessarily forbidden forever. Isn't the Kal Vachomer that should be enough with one witness if Tuma, which is more severe, is enough with one witness? Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches, that actually, as the Pasuk says, Nevarim, regarding the woman that was unfaithful, it says, Ki Matzaba Ervas Davar, that if the husband finds out that she had done something immoral in regards to having a relation with another man, Ulahal, so that there it says as that if he found this element of erva, but it says erva's davar. Well, halnu aimer, and the different pasuk says in devarim, in regards to the context of saying testimony regarding something that someone had done, it says al pishne edim or al pishleisha edim yakum davar, that through the testimony of two or three witnesses should the matter be established. So we say ma davar amala halah, and just like over there when it says the word davar, it means al pishne edim, as the pasuk says it has to be with two witnesses. Avkan al pishneim. So here also when it talks about stira, anything related to Arayas, again, besides Tumah, which we have a pasuk specifically that says it's going to be enough with one, you require two witnesses. Now the Gemara asks on this, what we just said, Hai mechi matzaba erbas davar nafka, is that really true? That how do we know that stira, the seclusion, to verify that in halacha, needs to have two witnesses, is because you learn that from davar from din imamanis? But miba nafka, but we learned it out, as we said previously, since it says in the pasuk that eid ein ba, that it says in the pasuk ba, so we said that obviously only in the halacha of tumah do we say that ve'eid ein ba, that one witness would be enough. But that excludes everything else in the context regarding the other testimonies regarding this suspected woman, that we say that it's going to be like all other halachas of testimony in the Torah, which is two witnesses. So therefore, ask the Gemara, ba v'le b'kinui, ba v'le b'stir mi ba'ilei. Why is the Mishnah saying that we know that stira requires two from dava from din imamanis? What do you mean? You know you need two from the fact that it tells you that only by tuma is one enough, but by other elements of kinyan stira you need to have two. So that thing answers, you're right. Hachinam kama. That is exactly what the Mishnah means to say. Tamale Meba, which is Bavale Bekino, Bavale Bestira. That's where really you know that Kin and Stira need two, is because it's excluded from the eight Ein Ba that says that you don't need two, but only one for Tumah, but everything else needs two. Now, however, the Gzeris Shava of Dover Dover is actually teaching a different halacha, and there are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is how it's supposed to say in the Mishnah. That is a different halacha. V'tama be'alma. Now, in general, if a witness comes along and wants to say that a woman was defiled, a married woman was defiled by another man, b'loi kinui u'b'loi stira, without the husband ever warning this woman, and without her ever having been testified by witnesses that she secluded, how do we know that he's not believed if he's one witness? How do we know that? Meaning we know that with kin and stira he is believed. How do you know that with one witness, when there's no kin and stira, he's not believed? So that's what the Mishnah says. Nemakan kimotza ba'ervas dava. Here it says that if he finds in his wife something of immorality, again the word dover. So ma dava amal halon edim shnayim. Just like over there when it says the word dover, it means two witnesses. Of Khan, Eidim Shnayim, here also, when it says the word Dover, it also references two Eidim. And that's how we know a different halacha. You're right, regarding Kin and Stira, we know that they need two from Ba, which is Ba, Bala, Bikin, and Bla, Bistira. So what is Dover coming to say in general? Not regarding the parasha of Besaita, which is when she was warned and so on. Regular witness who comes and says, your wife was Mizana. How do we know that we don't believe him? Is because when it comes to Arias, you need to have two witnesses that testify, like we learn at Dover, Dover, Mimam. Now we conclude Tanur Rabbanan, which is actually the beginning of a longer brisa that continues on to the next daf. But Tanur Rabbanan, we're in the brisa, which was related to the terminology recorded in this Mishnah, that Ezuhi Eidus Rishana, when we kept on saying the first testimony and the later testimony, what's the first testimony? So Zu Eidus Stira, as we had explained, that's a reference to the testimony of being secluded, which again, that we said requires two witnesses. And when we said Eidus Achrena, what did we mean in the Mishnah? That it's the later testimony, Zu Eidus Tuma. That's the testimony regarding the actual defilement of the cohabitation of this married woman with another man.